You're listening to Making Money Online with Lisa Johnson, the podcast that tells you what it really takes to build a business and the simple steps to get you there. I'm determined to share with you the reality of easy, simple business marketing tips to make passive income so that you can start making money online. This episode is sponsored by Samantha Labanzu, who is a multi-award-winning diversity and inclusion strategist and coach and my really good friend and client. Are you ready to take your LinkedIn game to the next level? Well, get ready to join the waitlist for Samantha's highly anticipated book on profitable and inclusive strategies for LinkedIn success, out on May the 1st. This book is packed with insights, tips, and actionable advice that will elevate your professional and business presence on the world's premier professional networking platform. But wait, there's more. When you join the waitlist and grab your copy of the book, you'll also receive access to her hugely popular LinkedIn Mastery Masterclass, valued at over £547 for only £47. That's right, a comprehensive guide to mastering the art of LinkedIn, only £47 with your book purchase. Unlock the secrets to building a profitable and inclusive LinkedIn presence. Join the waitlist now and be among the first to access this invaluable resource. Don't miss out on the opportunity to supercharge your LinkedIn journey. Visit the link now in the show notes to join the waitlist today. Elevate your LinkedIn game, make meaningful connections, and achieve new heights of profitable and inclusive success with Samantha Labanzu's upcoming book. Hello, hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Making Money Online. Today, I'm going to talk to somebody who does what I think a lot of people think they're going to do, and then they do something different. So I have a load of clients that are in corporate and they want to leave corporate. And they say, I want to do something completely different. And then they leave corporate. And what they actually end up doing is whatever they were doing in corporate, they just do that as a freelancer instead. So, you know, if they're good at marketing, they become a marketing person online, for instance, or if they're good at website design and that's what they do in corporate, they end up being a website designer just for themselves. And I wanted to talk to somebody who hasn't done that, because I think there's so much in actually deciding that you wanted to do something completely different and living that life. So I'm here today with Sarah Orchard. So Sarah helps Airbnb hosts. She helps glamp site owners and she helps holiday cottage owners to basically master their marketing so that they get more direct bookings rather than having to go through all the ones where basically you pay a massive percentage to them. And so Sarah used to be in corporate. So welcome, Sarah, to the podcast.
Hi, Lisa. Thanks for having me here.
No worries. I'm really interested to speak to you about what you've been doing. So you were in corporate. And what were you doing in corporate?
I worked in the travel industry. I did 16 years. So I sort of left uni, typical thing, went into travel. Had always sort of motivated me and sort of sparked me up. My father was an airline pilot. So travel was sort of in my blood. And I thought I wanted to go and work for an airline. So I sort of went into the travel industry and did the typical, you know, the typical corporate tenure and working your way up, getting more and more senior. And then it didn't quite turn out probably how I envisaged.
Does it ever in corporate?
No, I think you go in, and I was really lucky, actually. The companies I worked for, I had amazing opportunities. I got to do a lot of traveling the globe. They invested in my training. I did my Chartered Institute of Marketing, like postgrad. So they invested a lot. I was lucky. The employers were very good and they invested a lot into me. And I learned a lot. But the more senior I got, the more lack of joy I had in my job. And I also realized that, you know, I thought I wanted to be a marketing director and then a board director, but those people don't do any marketing. And
no, they just tell people how to do the marketing.
Exactly. Just manage teams, budgets, and there's a lot of politics. And that I found as I got more senior, it was the things like the politics that started to really sort of stress me out and actually had a toll on my health. So yeah. I had to decide whether, you know, I wanted to sort of go up or get out. And also, I don't have children. And I think in marketing roles, particularly as a woman, if you don't have kids, it's like you've got to keep climbing the ladder. And a lot of women in business, in sort of corporate business, tend to take time out and then maybe come back to part-time roles or job sharing, or they just exit corporate, as I know I've heard on your podcast. And I know your story as well. It's like it just doesn't work with a family. No. So I was a bit like, I've either got to go more senior, you don't get, you know, really old, like I'm not going to be old, but 50-year-old sort of marketing managers who just sort of stay at marketing manager level. It's either up or out. And I sort of got to that point where it was like, well, where am I going now?
Yeah. So you decided to leave. Did you think when you left, I mean, what was in your head? Did you think, well, I'll just do marketing? Or did you think I want to do something completely different? Like, what were you thinking?
I took voluntary redundancy, which was obviously, I'd been there 9 years, so it was very financially lucrative. And I actually was so out of love with marketing that I thought I never wanted to do marketing again. And I did actually come round, obviously, to marketing is my passion, and I think I'm really good at it. So I did come back round to that. But my husband and I decided, we went traveling about 18 months before I left my corporate job. And I think that was one of the catalysts, because I came back to my corporate job and realized that I'd been out of the business for 6.5 months and literally nothing had changed. Yeah. Nothing had moved forward. And it was like, what have you been doing for 6 months while I've been traveling the globe? And it made me realize that you just can't make a very big impact in corporate. It's like a massive ship that is just so slow, like Titanic. It's so slow to turn. You can't, it's like a big oil tanker. You know, you can't turn it quickly. It's like it's a slow process. And I couldn't really make things happen. I'm a bit of a doer, and I couldn't make things happen as quickly as I wanted. So while we'd been traveling, we'd stayed in some unusual, quirky accommodation, which would now get called glamping.
Yeah.
But then glamping really wasn't a thing. And we stayed in our first treehouse
in
Salt Spring Island.
I love it.
just off Vancouver. And we actually thought we were going to emigrate. So we came back thinking, right, we're going to emigrate to New Zealand and we're going to set up a really funky backpackers. You know, we haven't got kids. We're a bit footloose and fancy free. So we can, you know, we can make these big life choices and do some radical things. And Adrian's mother was unfortunately very ill with cancer. And we decided that actually, if we emigrated, we probably wouldn't see very much of family and friends because of the distance. So we decided to stay in the UK. And then it was like, well, what are we going to do now? So we started looking for somewhere to move to that we could then build our dream of this quirky accommodation, which then turned out to be a luxury treehouse.
That's crazy. How do you, I mean, like, I can imagine you looking in gardens going, could you build a treehouse there? Like, you just found a house with some land?
Yeah, it took us, well, from the point where we decided on the area, which was the Wye Valley in Gloucestershire, it took us 2.5 years. And we actually ended up going on the BBC TV show Escape to the Country.
Did you?
Because we were struggling to find somewhere. We were the weird people that when we phoned the estate agent, we were like, what's the land like? And does it have woodland? And they were like, do you not want to know what the house is like? And we're like, no, we're not too worried about the house. We just want to know what the land's like. And they just thought we were really weird. But that's, we looked at 23 houses, I think, in 10 visits, got a couple of speeding tickets. It was quite stressful commuting to come and look at houses on the weekend. And we just weren't really getting anywhere. So we went on the TV show and we actually put in an offer on house number 3.
Wow.
And bought it.
I didn't think anyone ever really bought them.
Yeah, no, people do. Yeah, we were the crazy ones that literally while we were filming, we phoned up the estate agent and put an offer in. And by the time we'd finished filming on the last day, they'd accepted our offer.
Oh, that's so good. It was on the television. So how long did it take you to build the treehouse?
8 months.
That's not bad. I thought you
No, it's 55. Yeah, 55 tons. So it's a pretty big structure. It's not those sort of childhood tree houses that it's 38 square meters. So it's a pretty large structure. It only sleeps 2.
Oh.
It's an A-frame as well. So it's a little bit unusual, which definitely made the building quite challenging. And the fact it didn't stop raining for 8 months. So that was also
that
a
bit
challenging.
Difficult. And did you have like a budget where you were like, right, I'm going to build this treehouse. This is how much it's going to cost us to do it. And this is how much money we want to make from it afterwards. And did you stick to that budget?
Yes, we did have a budget, like all projects, build projects. Anyone who's done any house renovations, it went over.
Always does, doesn't it?
Yeah, but we'd done our business plan and our research and we knew exactly what we could earn from a treehouse business. So we had, being obviously both my hubby and I, corporate backgrounds, you know, used to doing business planning and strategy. So we literally had worked and tested out different accommodation we'd stayed in. We looked at Number Crunch, spoke to other owners about how much money their treehouses and cabins were making. We went to see at least a couple of owners and sort of picked their brains. And we knew on paper that we would literally it would pay for itself.
Really?
Gross in a year.
Wow.
Obviously, we hadn't factored in COVID, but that's another story. Yeah. But even in terms of profit, in 3 years, it's paid for itself.
That's
so
amazing.
it's yeah so you get an amazing, if you're willing to take the gamble. They are quite, I mean, there's a lot more tree houses in the UK now. There's over 100, I think, that you can stay in, whereas I think there was about 36 when we started looking on our little journey to start the build. But people like to disconnect and get away from their, you know, city lives.
Anti-social media thing, isn't it? And so you built the tree house. When you first started marketing it, did you put it on as like an Airbnb? Is that how you started?
No. Obviously, being the marketer, I was like, I can do this myself. I don't need to pay any commission. We've been 100% direct since we opened the doors.
Okay.
And we've saved, I worked out in 3 years, the treehouse actually has just had its fourth birthday, but in the first 3 years, we saved £65,000 in commission.
Because people pay so, I know people who have got Airbnbs and are like, we take such a small amount from it compared to the commissions that you have to pay, which is a real shame because you don't even think about it like that. So you now, you did one too many, obviously.
I did.
And the thing that you are good at is helping other people market their own businesses so that they don't have to go through and pay commissions to all of these different sites. What made you realize that was the thing that you could do?
I think I'm also a bit passionate for the underdog. And it's like when you run a small business, it's like to give, you know, a booking agent, whether it's, you know, won't name them, but, you know, you give them a lot of money to market your business. And you are a very, you know, small fish in a big pond. And I think because of my background and sort of strategic marketing, I know that I can help business owners get the direct bookings. And they don't have to rely on the big agents, because you lose control of your business. You know, they even tell you what you should be pricing. They play around with your pricing with like dynamic pricing on their systems. And you just become a bit like vanilla in amongst everyone else, and you can't stand out. So if you can brand, position and market your own business, you can. I mean, the treehouse, literally 96% occupancy since we opened, and 100% direct business. And
that's brilliant. How much do you charge for this? Just because I don't know how much things like this cost. How much would a stay in a treehouse be?
Treehouses range from about £250 to about £500 a night.
Okay, so they're more than your average kind of stay. Yeah. Okay, because of the experience of it, I guess.
Yeah, the average in the UK probably for accommodation is around about 125 to 150 a night if you're staying in like a holiday cottage or a typical Airbnb. So
it's a bit up from that. So when you've been doing your own marketing, have you been using social media? Have you been using a website? Have you been using SEO? Like, what are your kind of tips to doing that?
Fundamental is your own website. Because obviously you don't want to be reliant on being on the agent's website, and you need to make sure that that's optimized so that it's visible. SEO, search engine optimization, is that like the massive win for most websites, for most holiday businesses. They don't generally understand how it works, how Google finds your business, and they don't optimize. And most web developers don't optimize websites when they build them. So that can be a massive win, particularly because people will often search for what we call like long tail phrases. So it's not a short thing like just holiday cottage and a location. They might want specifics about how many it sleeps, or whether it's got a hot tub, or whether it's, you know, dog friendly, or it's near a particular location that they want to go to, or maybe a foodie destination. So the more you can be specific about what you offer and how that matches the person searching, the more likely you are to be able to come up onto page one and to get that traffic. I mean, we get 50% of our traffic from Google, and that's we get 65,000 visits a year. So most of that's happening, you know, those 30,000 visits, that's happening while I'm sleeping, which for me is the best type of marketing.
Well, it is a kind of, having a treehouse in itself is a semi-passive income stream, because you've bought the asset already and then you're able to make money from it over and over again with some marketing, and especially if the marketing is passive as well as SEO is. That's a really good way of doing things. So you now help other people to do this, because I presume you saw everywhere that there were a load of people paying a load of commission and they didn't really need to. How do you do that? Is that with courses?
Yes, so I have Get Fully Booked, and that basically is I have a membership, which is a monthly marketing club. I also run a boot camp, which is a group program once a year, and I've got courses as well. So like evergreen courses that people can tap into.
So what's next for you then? Because I can see how this, you know, can just nearly run itself after a while. Like, you're getting people knowing what you do, and there's not many of you. Like, I haven't heard of anybody else doing what you're doing. So people are going to come to you if they don't want to pay the commissions. But I presume with a marketing background, there's a lot that you could be doing to help people who have hotel businesses even, and different types of businesses, to really make the most of it.
Yeah, I think any business that offers an experience, because I've worked with attractions, hotels, gastropubs, you know, I've niched in a little bit on the sort of, you know, Airbnb, you know, holiday cottages and glamp sites, because that's closer to what I'm sort of doing on a day-to-day basis with the treehouse. But I've had clients across all of the sort of hospitality sector, and I love working with them. I mean, it's a people business, creating experiences rather than stuff. You know, it's not products. It's fantastic. And yeah, I think I obviously want to grow my membership. I love running the Fully Booked Business Club. My members are fantastic. And it feels like I'm working with friends most days, because obviously we're all hosts, so we've all got similar experiences. And just to see the results they get is just what gets me out of bed in the morning. So I really am looking to sort of grow the membership so I can continue to support and serve more hosts. You know, obviously I realized when I was doing sort of more traditional consultancy that I could only work with about 6 to 10 clients every month. So there was a limit on my time without running myself ragged. So now, having a membership, I can help so many more people. And I've got people in Spain, France. I've got people in the US, the Caribbean. So it's brilliant being able to work with so many different nationalities as well, because I did quite a bit of international marketing in my corporate career. So I get to do a bit of both, and it doesn't feel like work.
No, it sounds really fab. So I want to find out two things from you. First of all, if people have a glamp site or a holiday cottage or an Airbnb and they need your help to make more money from it, where is the best place for them to find you?
Best place would be Instagram, and I'm at Get Fully Booked.
That's nice and easy, isn't it?
Yeah.
And secondly, if somebody wants to stay in the treehouse, where is the best place to find that?
It's called The Hudnall's Hideout. So, and if they just Google treehouse Wye Valley, Gloucestershire.
Look at that SEO work in there.
Yeah, we come up. But yeah, we type The Hudnall's Hideout and you will find us. And we'd love to welcome some of the listeners to come and stay.
Fantastic. Thank you for coming on today. I think it's really interesting when people leave corporate and they do something just so completely different, and it gives them the life that they never would have had if they were working in corporate. Like, I can imagine how amazing your life is now doing that and spending time with these business owners. If you're thinking that you would like to, you know, leave what you're doing in corporate and do something completely different, don't be scared of it. Do the research while you are still in corporate, but don't be scared to completely change something. I see hundreds of people change what they do into something that they've always dreamed of doing and they didn't know they could, and they make a success of it. And if they can, you can. So yeah, definitely say to keep an open mind about what you can do when you leave corporate. Thank you for listening today, and thank you for being here, Sarah. And I will be back for another episode next week. Have an amazing week, whatever it is you're doing. Thank you for listening to Making Money Online with Lisa Johnson. If you'd like to get hold of my guide to launching, go to lisajohnson.com/launch and let's get you making money online.